Good morning, everyone. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. The Mary Griffith Show rolls on as we do each and every weekday. And today, Wednesday, we have Laura Sievert here from Arts Quincy. And she's going to talk a little bit about the event that happened last night at the City Council. They have tabled again her proposal for $25,000 grant from the City of Quincy. What is it exactly you would like this money for? A lot of people don't know much about this, but why are you asking the City of Quincy for $25,000?
Well, so to back up just a little bit, this is not asking the city for any new money. That's already approved through the budget, the traditional budgeting process that everyone goes through, right? So whether you're talking about money for Greta, for the Convention and Visitors Bureau, or all of the many, many things that go through the city budget process, ours went through the city budget process like everyone else's did.
And so this was approved?
This was approved in April.
In April, right.
So this is already approved and in the budget. It's 1.6% of the overall economic development fund, which you might already know this, but that economic development fund is that food and beverage tax that we passed a couple of years ago. And 1.6% is a real small percent. And it is specifically that economic development fund in its charter said for tourism and arts and culture and development of the economy of Quincy to make it a better place to recruit. It was like about workforce development, things like that. Which clearly that Arts Quincy is serving that mission. We have not put a particular earmark on this money. One of the main reasons we talked, and I've been talking, this is not a new conversation. I've had it with Kyle Moore's administration and Trope since he's been in office as well. But I think it's important in a city that considers it one of the most successful small cities for the arts in the entire nation that we have some buy-in to arts and culture sector. I said we'll put $25,000 into AstroTurf at a T-ball field, and no money whatsoever in the entirety of the broad arts and culture sector we've got. And that's, as a citizen, upsetting to me.
But now you have mixed metaphors because the T-ball field is the park department, not the city.
But it's a taxing body.
I mean, that's just an
example of things we spend our money on. We spend our money on fleet vehicles. We spend our money on a thousand things, right? And most of them much larger than $25,000. But $25,000 to this Arts Council, what we really wanted to show is we want to go after this large next round of capital funding from the state. And when we get scored on these things in a grant perspective, they want to see buy-in from the city. They want to see that. It's actually a scored category. The first time I wrote zero on a grant application for the state, they called me and asked if it was a mistake because very few arts councils get no money from their municipality. And we had money from Quincy for 40 years before it was phased out, before I was hired in this job. So it's unusual for arts councils not to get a little bit of funding. And some are completely city funded, but for at least some amount of buy-in. So anyway, I don't want to see a zero on that score when we go after $2 million for riverfront development. And some people say, well, we don't know if we'll get that money. And I'm like, absolutely, we don't know if we'll get that money. But I want that application to be as competitive as humanly possible because we did get $1.5 million for the building across the street. I wrote a grant this year for the city of Quincy that got $50,000, double what I'm asking for, right? And I need the capacity at Arts Quincy to go after it. Those things don't happen. It's not like I sit down one afternoon, write a grant, and it's over. It's meetings and lobbying and talking to my legislators and talking to the decision makers of the state. It's a huge undertaking. And the only way I have the capacity to do it is if I have my staff working on the other parts of Arts Quincy's mission at the time. I want them to be out there doing the things like, you know, we put every K-5 student in all of Adams County got a field trip from us last year. I can't do all of that by myself. And what a disappointment.
I can see that you're emotional.
I'm emotional about it.
Emotional about it because
I want this city to have a buy-in to its arts council.
Okay, I want to play devil's advocate to you because I've been going to the city council and I kind of get their argument. I may not agree with it. That's not my purpose here. Here's the problem. Years ago, they funded a lot of not-for-profits and they got into a problem where more and more not-for-profits kept asking, and then they were saying, well, we're picking winners and losers, because if we fund the Salvation Army but we don't fund something else, then we're kind of implicitly saying that we prefer the Salvation Army. If we fund the Arts Council but we don't fund the Quincy Museum, or if we fund the Arts Council but we don't fund the YWCA, then we're implicitly picking a winner. You're trying to say to them that it's part of economic development. The money is already in the budget, and the part that you are using this money for is to specifically help write grants to bring more money into Quincy.
Right. And if you just take those two grants that I just talked about, the return on that investment would be 62 to 1. So I'm not a bad investment, I'll tell you that right now. But moreover, the argument that it's some sort of slippery slope is sort of laughable to me, who spent 7 or 8 years trying to get claw any money back, right? It is not like it's just going to open up the floodgates. I mean, it's going to take somebody else 7 or 8 years to claw back any dollars. But the idea that, I mean, an Arts Council functions like a Convention and Visitors Bureau, like a Chamber of Commerce, like a GRDF. We are out there advocating for an entire sector in a different way. So I find it a little disingenuous to say, oh, well, your tax status is the reason that we can't support the Arts Council, because we do already support nonprofits. We already support GRDF is a great example. But it's not just GRDF. So that Bet on Cue program is another great program. It pours money into nonprofits and for-profits alike to increase tourism, right? We're not eligible for Bet on Cue because it's really events-driven and we're year-round. But Bet on Cue is another good example. So we put $25,000 this year into the On the Rail that did those concerts, and I think that was a great investment. I mean, their data shows seven or eight to one in return on that. It's a great investment, right? But it's a for-profit entity, and at the end of the day, they're not pouring their money back into Quincy. But Arts Quincy is, right? If any amount of investment that goes into your Arts Council pours right back into your organizations. So, you know, what would I do with this extra money besides support the staff that I need to, like, make all of our programs happen to begin with? We've been talking about buying pre-roll advertising in the region for things like our theater, things like our symphony, to bring in tourism. So I really wanted to show with these dollars a commitment to tourism. But you might not be surprised to hear that $5,000 or $7,000 can only buy a month of this pre-roll stuff in the region. You know, I mean, it's really an expensive type of advertising. But we want to do that. We want to be in kiosks from here to St. Louis. We want to be all of the places that get people up here. So, you know, I don't like the argument that we can't fund nonprofits. We have to fund wisdom. We have to use some wisdom when we decide what gets funded, what doesn't get funded. And to say we have an economic development fund, and it's for economic development of people bringing in tourism, but not our Arts Council because they happen to have a different kind of tax status. That's a dumb argument. It's not smart. I will bring back those funds in spades. But how can we do it without a little bit of buy-in from our city? And I'll tell you this, to the support of
it's not everybody in the city who's against it. I want to get right to the point, and I know you're very emotional right now, so I'm going to give you a chance to think before you speak. But it's no secret. I've been there. I've been covering city council now recently. Somebody said, does Mike Trope support it? And you said, I think so. And they said, then I'm against it. What kind of, excuse me, A-double-S would make a statement like that?
I think there's some strife inside of council, but that's normal. I mean, every council
has. So because
has
it's an election year now, we can't do anything in Quincy because you either have to be for the incumbent or against the incumbent, and if the incumbent is in favor of, making sure nobody, you know, I don't know, name the most Mother Teresa-like thing you can think of. If Mike Trope's for it, everybody else against is for kicking puppies, because if Trope is for puppies, then we're against puppies. Is this what we have come to in our city government? Because you're up against it.
Yeah.
There is a group that absolutely is so focused on getting that man out of office. That's their only focus. And until this next election, I think Mother Teresa could come down and make an appearance before the Quincy City Council, and they would say, did Mayor Trope invite you here? Well, yes, he did. Then we hate you. We don't want you. We're against you.
It's hard for somebody like me who's got to always, I remain pretty apolitical. You know, I like everybody who supports the things that make Quincy better. I didn't choose to raise my family here because, who the mayor was, right? I expected people to work on our behalf. I think that there's a good number of people who want to see development for Quincy. All of the things, you know, I was listening to some conversation down there yesterday about the idea of a splash pad. I love the idea of a splash pad. My kids would love that. You know, I think that'd be cool. Sometimes we get in our own way. for reasons that don't make a lot of sense, or we grandstand on the arts. Man, every time any budget in the history of the world gets brought up, is it the arts that's the whipping boy, or is it the arts? That school budgets, you think they're going to cut football? No, they're going to come after the arts. And I don't understand that, because we're out there doing work in low-income communities. I do work at the veterans home with patients with dementia, and I see them respond to music in a way that would just put tears down your face. And how can anybody on that council say that this tiny investment, again, 1.6% of a fund specifically for this, 1.6% is too much to invest in your arts council. And if you think further than that, I don't think it is a good look on any of them either. If there's politics guiding such a, which shouldn't be a procedural vote. They already approved the budget. It was already in there. It was already like black and white in there. We expected questions back in the budgeting process. Nobody asked. So we're like, I guess they're cool with it. So the fact that this turned into such a contentious issue really does feel like it has tones of, well, we are, I think one of the aldermen, I'd have to look in one of the articles this morning, was quoted as saying it was not explained by the administration. Well, it was at the budgeting time, right? Like, when you budgeted, it was explained, and you didn't have questions. So that's why withhold it? And to me, it should be an annual appropriation, and maybe it is even a little more than that, so that we could put event support out to all of the things that come, you know, every time the theater has something, every time the symphony has something, every time the concert band has something, because we're good for Quincy. We're good for Quincy. And I'll tell you this, to close my thought, because, you know, I am really pretty emotional about it. In the conversations I had in the week leading up to this, not a single person said a thing about the merit of Arts Quincy or our ability to execute programming on Quincy's behalf. Not one person. So it was all procedure this and budget that and, oh my God, your tax status. None of that is saying that we're not going to do good work, because we are. You know, and the six folks who did vote for it, and probably Mr. Ebbing too, because I think he was wanting to and just needed some clarifications. I just appreciate that. I think you see kind of a, when you have Mike Farha making a statement about how important the arts are, or Ben Uslak, who are both kind of different politicians, right? You see support broadly. I will tell you that people who wrote letters on our behalf this week included Lee Lindsay, they included Todd Pettit, they included Bruce Guthrie. These are people who don't have everything in common, right? But they have this in common. They know that we can't recruit an educated workforce. We can't get tourism. We can't make Quincy a bright place to live for our seniors and our veterans and our kids if we don't have great arts. So we're out here doing the work. Would really just like the city to be a part of it. I want to be a partner. I want to be a partner in making this place better, which is what I do every day.
Well, good luck, because some people have made up their mind that this has implications.
I don't think it does. I think we gotta dispel that fact, because arts are for everybody. They really are. And you can play politics with some other football, but this football needs the help.
I tell you who you need to get letters of endorsement from them. Why don't you get letters of endorsement from Dan Brink and Linda. Linda Moore.
Well, again,
because if this is a political football, you know, and nobody wants to do it because they feel that one segment of one political party is going to get something good out of this, while the other segment of the political party is going to be not get anything good.
And I don't want to say that some of those concerns about, like, nonprofit funding aren't worth talking about.
They are worth talking
about.
There's a million not-for-profits, right. And they could all come to the city of Quincy, and they could all say, we do good work. You know, don't you like puppies? They could all do that.
Right.
I agree. Here's the weird thing about this, though. Like you said, this is something that suddenly came up.
Yeah, we thought it was just going to be procedural.
They asked me
for an invoice.
They called me and said,
where's the invoice? I said, oh, here you go.
Yeah, I mean, this is all of a sudden, it's like, where were you? We need this explained. I'm paying you every week to sit down and read your packet.
Right.
Who explained it to you before you voted the last time?
Right.
I mean,
well, and that was disappointing
it's
too.
Insane, and you know,
one of the aldermen said, well, it was kind of snuck in there, and I was like, it was It was on its own slide in the budget presentation.
I'm not very sneaky. Anybody who doesn't pay attention, that's who it snuck past.
I'm not very sneaky, you guys.
I really, you know, you've got a problem on your hands. I don't know that even this appearance today helped you at all, probably with me chiming in. But the point being is it could be voted down on several merits, and you could just say, we don't support any not-for-profits. That's not a good use of taxpayers' dollars. If that was their policy, then Greta and a few others would have to seek other funding. That could be their policy, and everybody would understand that. But that's not their policy. Their policy is, for some reason, you and your group personify something that we don't want to promote, because just like we don't want to really solve the border problem before November 3rd, because what would happen if we actually did that?
Right.
It would not bode well.
Please don't tie it to the border.
It's the same kind of idiocy. It's the same kind of idiocy that we can never solve a problem because we want our guy or our gal to be the one who solved the problem. It can't be solved on somebody else's watch.
To Quincy's credit, the arts community in the nation can sometimes be viewed as sort of leftist or whatever. But in Quincy, it never has been. It really has been. We have support from both sides of the aisle. In fact, we have maybe more Republican donors than anything else at Arts Quincy, because we know that the arts don't have a party. We're the happiest thing in Quincy. We're making music. Do you know what I'm doing this Sunday? Back to regular arts beat. You know what I'm doing this Sunday? We are having a special memorial concert with Quincy Park Band for 9/11. That should bring everybody together. That's the whole point of the arts. I'm going to go play my French horn, and I'm going to go be the MC for an organization that's been around for almost 100 years that Arts Quincy supports every day, and we're going to memorialize 9/11, which is a thing that has no policies and it has no political background. We all felt it. I at 9/11, I was, 19 years old, something like that. We all came together. And I just feel like the arts are the place that you can still remember that feeling of all coming together. And that's what the Quincy Park Band's doing this Sunday. That's what I want my city council to understand. We're not a football. We're not politics. Our tax status helps you, because then you don't have to actually pay somebody at the city to have a job in the arts, right? Like, it actually better to pay me $25,000 to go find you $2 million. That's a pretty good investment, cheap investment, right? And we're going to keep making Quincy a great place to live. I'm going to keep doing this every day. And I would say, on a personal level, it hurts my feelings. It hurts my feelings.
It is very personal. Yeah, it is. It's
my life's work, and I want my city to care. I want them to care that we have arts. It's awesome. And every one of you who does it, everybody stops me. Do you know how many people listen to the show? Everybody listens to the show. I'm going to get in all kinds of trouble that I got emotional.
I hope some of them are listening today, because I ain't happy with y'all. I think you got some convoluted thinking going on.
Well, but this show gives us a microphone to tell you all the cool stuff that's coming up. And every one of you who participates in the arts, who goes and spends some money at it, who keeps these little clubs going. You know, people think of our big clubs, but I think about our needleworkers and our woodworkers and our people who are making little baby dresses for the stillborn babies at the hospital. Those are all part of my umbrella. We're just proud to represent you guys and appreciate your support. Hopefully we can get these other six people, because I wouldn't... Do you know what would make me the most happy next week? Is if this was just a complete pass. Everyone voted for it. Now, is that crazy? Sure. But it's not. If you guys call these aldermen and say, hey, let's not make the arts this problem. Let's not do that.
Let's separate problems we're having, which we know there are many.
Do you think I'm not going to do a good job with this money? I promise you. We've won the Better Business Bureau Torch Award twice. And that's for ethics. For those of you who don't know this, it's for ethics in nonprofits.
Well, I'd like to know the ethics of the person who said, who's for it? Well, then I'm against it. I think that says it all. Hey, this 9/11, this memorial concert, it is this Sunday?
Yeah.
And what time and where?
It is at our regular place. So we were originally going to do it at the Flags of Honor. We couldn't do it for some reasons. So it will be at Madison Park at 4:30. No, not 4:30.
6:30.
6:30. 6:30, and free concert with the Quincy Park Band. Special. We've never done one at this time of year before, but wanted to do something special. We're going to do a lot of patriotic tunes. You may know this is my first year emceeing for the Quincy Park Band, and man, has it been fun. You know, it's hard to step into a Dan Sherman's shoes and emcee this band, but... special shout out to him. He celebrated his 60th anniversary.
Yes, they had a big party on Sunday. I was not able to attend, but how wonderful that Pam and Dan Sherman have been together for 60 years. And they've just dedicated their whole lives to improving our community. What more can be said?
Hey, do you know the difference between Dan and me as MCs? I have to have a microphone. He didn't have to.
That's
true. Just project.
Dan is my triangle instructor.
Yeah, that's right.
The only time I've ever played triangle publicly was with the Quincy Public Band, Park Band, and I thank them. Okay, folks.
Call your alderman.
Call your alderman if you care about this. If you don't call your alderman. I don't, it's such, in the larger scheme of things, life will go on either way. I mean, that's the thing. It's not really about the money at this point. It's almost like, kick my dog. You know, it's like, how can you just be this?
Well, it's a 61. I mean,
if you want to say I'm not funding not-for-profits, I'll go with that. That could be a policy that you could actually say, but then do it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is just, the ones have gotten themselves in trouble because you see the reason, they had to come up with a reason. They couldn't come up with a logical reason because everybody likes puppies. They couldn't come up with a logical reason, so they had to come up with an illogical reason, and now they're caught. Now they're caught kicking puppies, and they don't know how to get out of it. So just get yourself out of it gracefully. Vote yes on it, or vote no, and say a reason. And the reason can't be, is somebody that I don't like for it? Then I'm against it.
Yeah.
That's what makes it great. I would like to also go on record. This is Mary Griffith talking. If we took all the times that aldermen missed meetings and we went ahead and paid them their usual and considerate rate, even though they didn't show up for work, we could probably afford $25,000. But we won't go there. Thank you very much, Laura Sievert, for coming on the Mary
Griffith
Show. You
didn't get me in trouble, girl.
I made you cry.
You did. Have I ever gotten emotional on this show?
Oh, a lot of people.
I make a lot of people
cry. And guess what? I think some people are going to call and try to make me cry, but I ain't scared. We'll be back after we hear from Rex Battery and head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. It is 20 minutes away from Fox News at the top of the hour. We're going to change gears now and talk about great things that are happening in Quincy. And the only reason great things happen is because great people make them happen. And that conglomeration of great people can be described as the Noon Kiwanis Club. And Michelle Miller is here.
Thanks, Mary.
We've been trying to have more people on from service clubs because we realize that there has to be this component in our community that does good things that maybe our tax dollars can't do for us. Or maybe that as individuals, we don't have the clout. But together, we can come together as a group and make great things happen. So the spotlight today on the Noon Kiwanis Club in particular. Tell us a little bit about the Noon Kiwanis Club. You obviously meet at, let me guess it, Noon.
Noon, yeah.
Boy, I'm smart, aren't I?
You're good. Noon every Monday at the Quincy Holiday Inn. We're always looking for new members. So it's been a bit since we've kind of talked about our club in general. We do a lot of great things, but what does membership look like? And, our weekly meetings, we have invite speakers in from all aspects of the city of Quincy and Adams County. Mostly, you know, we invite in nonprofits like Laura, who was just on. We invite in all of the school systems. We invite in our city leadership. We invite in business leaders from the community. So we have guest speakers every week. We also build in time for club networking. We are a service club, but in order to better serve your community, you need to understand the community that you live in, and you need to understand the other members that are part of the club. So we're down to around 80 members now. You know, we'd always love that number to be more. We do a lot of great service projects. We've been trying to connect with the Quincy Children's Museum, but the weather keeps not cooperating with us for that.
Don't worry, they're going to be around.
They're going to be around for a long time, so we'll have plenty of time to do that. You know, we connect with the Salvation Army. We just in July went to, or June went to Camp Onasong with Camp Sakanak, sorry. Camp Onasong is where my daughter goes to camp. Camp Sakanak for the Salvation Army for Kim Bigelow Kids Days. This fall is really a transition time for our club. We're getting ready to bring in our new board members. And then kind of right off the bat, we get ready for our big Christmas party that we have in December. So
the bottom line is service clubs, some of them are struggling with membership. And let's be honest about that. Part of it is, remember in the old days when we said, wow, they've invented washing machines and even dishwashers and vacuum cleaners. What will women do all day?
Right.
You know? And now it's like, well, they invented a thing called a computer. And so, Mary Griffith, what will you do when you only have to work 2 hours a day because you have a computer?
Right.
It didn't happen. And so we are increasingly, more and more people are in the workforce, men and women. More and more people are working at jobs that may not be as flexible.
Correct.
In other words, everybody doesn't just clock out at lunch and go to lunch.
Correct.
And so some of these service clubs are struggling to find members. The other thing is everybody wants to be a good citizen and wants to do service, but they're not sure they have that kind of investment in time. So let's talk about that. What's the benefit of going to a Kiwanis Club meeting at noon? Any Kiwanis Club, any Rotary Club, what do I get out of that 60 minutes of my day?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's kind of like it reminds me of all of the good things that are happening in Quincy. You know, as busy as you are, and I'm no longer the president of Noon Kiwanis. That was last year, but
You're
I'm still
emeritus.
Speaking. Yes, I'm still speaking on behalf of Noon Kiwanis, but you know, I don't make it to meetings as often as I used to when I was president, but I try to make it twice a month. And it's a good reminder of all of the good things that are happening in our town. You know, I do service projects with my kids. That's what I like specifically about Quincy Noon Kiwanis, is that the focus is on children in our community. And so you can't say yes to everything, right? And so this is the thing that I say yes to, is helping, being involved in a community organization that serves the children in our community. But any service club, I think it's probably networking, seeing the other good things that that people are doing for our community, learning a little bit about your community, and then having the opportunity as a group to give back. Like you said, you can't always make an impact on your own, but as a larger group, to be able to go out and help an organization, or when we do our big auction, to be able to give back those funds to community organizations, to me, that's the reason why I continue to be a member of this.
The other thing I always got out of being in service clubs was, too, you just get to meet the other people.
Yes.
And so you get to know who your cohorts are in the community, people who are like-minded. You also may find out that somebody is has an idea for something, and that might be something the club might get behind. All of a sudden, you know, one person likes that idea, then 10 people like that idea. Then it's like, well, hey, if our members are enthusiastic about this, why don't we adopt this as our idea? Like you said, you always have parameters, like it has to do with kids and, you know, but it's getting to know and understand that like-minded people, there's a synergy when they get together in the same room. You know, the rising tide is lifting all the boats. And I'm sure that there are some days when you probably go to a meeting, you're like, ugh. But it also does force you to sit down, relax, and be present there with what's happening, because you can't be doing the other
yes.
when you're there.
Yeah. So, and it's, I'm glad that you actually mentioned that, because that's kind of how we ended up taking over Quincy Quarter Madness. I know that there's a lot of those Quarter Madness type fundraisers around the area, but we took that over because the original group that did that at the senior center every month was looking for someone, and we thought that was a place for us to fill that role. And we have a dedicated group of Kiwanians that run that every single month at the Quincy Holiday Inn. And so, again, that was a need in the community. People were attending it. People enjoyed going to that with their friends. And we saw that there was a need for us to take that over. So that's something that I don't know that a lot of people realize, that Quincy Noon Kiwanis runs that Quincy Quarter Madness every month. So things like that, you learn what's important to other people. And the thing that I think is interesting about Quincy Noon Kiwanis is that we are very diverse. We have younger members that are in their mid-20s. We have more mature members who are retired and have all of that life experience. And then you have all of us in between. And we have men and we have women, and we're from all different types of backgrounds, from a work background. And so that is one of the things that I love, that I think is actually unique to our club, that we have such a diverse membership.
It is true. And there are different Kiwanis variations of a theme.
Yes.
I think last Friday we saw some Kiwanis members, not your club,
yes,
but other Kiwanis members out with their peanut day.
Mm-hmm.
And so each service club has its niche in our community,
yes,
of what they do and how they serve. And collectively together, they're just fantastic, because again, one service group can't do it all. You have to have a wide variety of people. It takes 40 mules to pull that borax wagon. You've got to have 40 different probably service clubs to make us a complete sect in our society of everybody who,
yes,
wants to go together. Noon Kiwanis, you mentioned the Quarter Madness. If people want more information about that, because I know there's a lot of people who are still like maybe haven't heard of that, or their Quarter Madness game died in their community and they're really looking for a Quarter Madness game to join. This is a big one.
Yes.
And of course, the bigger, the better. When,
yes,
it comes to Quarter Madness, there is strength in numbers.
Yes,
the more people,
yes,
that are there, the bigger the jackpots are, and everything is just better. Yeah.
So Facebook is really the best space for that. Quincy Quarter Madness. The Noon Kiwanis of Quincy Facebook page shares the Quarter Madness page. I'm terrible. I should know who's coming up the next 2 months, but December is a huge one. That's Toys for Tots.
Toys for Tots is always
phenomenal,
the biggest
one. So that's fun. So that's really, Facebook is the best spot to go for more information on that and dates on that.
Okay. Folks, we're going to continue our conversation with Michelle Miller. She is the president emeritus,
yeah,
of the Noon Kiwanis Club, and she has a little marketing streak in her, because she said, you know what, not enough people know about us. I'm going to call Mary Griffith and see if I can be on her show regularly. And it's been delightful, and I've,
yes,
learned a lot. So we'll be back right after these messages.